The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Goody at the movies today. Last night was a lot of Arizona State anger online, and I get some of it. Not quite sure I get all of it. What I saw last night out of their loss to Syracuse and the end of their season was what I'd seen most of the year, except there's just some dumb plays that were made. And actually got into debates with people about whether this was a good season or bad season. A couple of people asked me, hey, Brad, do you think it was a good year or a bad year? They thought it was a bad year. So I'm going to get into that a little bit as the show moves on today. Some of you are watching this or taking this in as the tournament is going on. So I'm going to just up front, I'm not going to do a whole lot of tournament stuff today. I'm going to do some, but I think there's some other topics I want to get into on the show. Haley is in producing today. Eric is off. So we'll hear from Haley a little bit as the show moves on today. Haley Stasiak. She's been out at the Diamondbacks a great deal. So I want to get the insight from her as to what she has seen, what is going on. They're 2 weeks away from the start of the season. So we'll have Haley jump on board. Tyrann Mathieu being released and Mike Glennon and everything going on around the Cardinals with their, not just the Mathieu release. I don't quite get, again, the anger towards the organization of releasing Tyrann Mathieu. Tyrann Mathieu has had injuries, and Tyrann Mathieu at times has made big plays, but has he consistently made plays? The thing about the National Football League is it is always a what have you done for me lately business. It just is. And the way that contracts are structured in the NFL, it's very easy for an employer to say, yeah, even though we said we're going to pay you X, you know, we don't have to do that, so we're not going to do that. We're going to get you out of here. And we can do it, and it's not going to impact us at all. Now, in the case of the Cardinals and Tyrann Mathieu, it does impact them. And also, I'm going to weigh in on the Coyotes a little bit because they're actually becoming something here. It's also a big day for Phoenix Rising FC. They have renderings released on their new stadium. Whenever a stadium project is released, people like to see that. We have some images we hope to bring you later on in the show. And again, Goody at the Movies. We're brought to you by, right off the top, Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, guys, you've got to protect what matters most. I hope that you have taken this to heart as they have partnered with us. And you've started to go online and go to the website, sagicornow.com. You've plugged it in and you've looked at it and you've gotten your free quote. Because life happens fast and you don't know when something's going to change. And are you protected? Is your family protected? When was the last time you even thought about life insurance? A lot of people don't. So go on to sagicornow.com, log on, get your free quote. We appreciate their support. Mike Glennon gets a 2-year, $8 million deal with the Arizona Cardinals. So Mike Glennon is the next quarterback to come in, along with Sam Bradford. And as we sit here today, and the Cardinals have yet to make everything official on their end, this is all being reported through agents and being reported through insiders whose opinions I respect, who are 99.9.9.9% right. When Adam Schefter says that Mike Glennon has agreed to a 2-year, $8 million deal, it is because an agent has told Adam that. And that's just how it is. So I don't need the official yet from the Cardinals. They will roll the two of them. I don't know if they'll roll the both of them out together. Probably take away from Sam's day. Sam Bradford is in the Valley reportedly going through the final parts of his deal, his agreement. It would be a surprise to me if there was something today, given that the Cardinals would want to compete with March Madness, and maybe the NFL wants to compete with March Madness. Maybe they want the headlines today, and they'll roll them out today. Regardless, it's going to roll out a couple quarterbacks. What does it mean as we sit here in March? Don't know. Sorry, I can't sit here and say I hate the moves because the final shoe hasn't dropped yet. I'm not going to like these two moves, I'm pretty certain, if they do not draft a quarterback. Now, if we're sitting here at number 15 and the Cardinals decide to trade all the way up into the top 10 and they select a quarterback, I might raise my eyebrow a little bit and say, what are you guys doing? You can get somebody in the second and third rounds. If you miss on a top 15 pick at that position, as the organization has done with Matt Leinart, then you see how far back it sets you. So I get it. They're going to go with these two vets, but you have to please, please, guys, don't sit here and be as arrogant to think that you've got it all figured out and you don't bring in a kid. Please. Whether it's Mason Rudolph or if someone drops in the draft, after signing these two players and the amount of money that is being put out, I mean, the amount that they're putting out on Mike Glennon, two-year, $8 million deal, you can walk away from that in a hurry. The contract with Sam Bradford, you can walk away from that one in a hurry. It's not like either one of these are hamstringing the franchise to where they can't get out of it. So they could, but I'd say you have bigger pressing needs on your football team. They've restructured the contract for Mike Iupati on the offensive line. So do they still need to address the offensive line through the draft? I think that would be a hard sell for fans. You've already let go of someone that is a magnetic personality to the fans in Tyrann Mathieu. You've brought someone along. You're going to get an awful lot of Buda Baker being thrown at you by the organization. Just, I'm sure they're going to promote him and put him out there for fans to see because there's some similarities, I believe, and he was really good last season. Part of it is you got to have salesmanship if you're a pro sports franchise. You have to have people that you're going to push out there for fans to go buy jerseys, for fans to go watch them on interviews. You're going to put them in places where people will see them. You're going to try to get them their own shows, their own segments, and all of that. They did that with Tyrann Mathieu, and it was a great story, and he produced. For him to be upset with the organization, that is part of the drill, too. I've not seen many times where guys get cut or guys get released in pro sports where they don't either privately or publicly go off about how they were treated or mistreated because they are in this space where they are entitled. They have been handed the golden key through years and years and years. Now, in Tyrann Mathieu's case, it's different. He bottomed out. The organization took a chance on him. The organization gave him a big contract. Again, it was not a guaranteed contract. And that is why Tyrann Mathieu is not here any longer. Tyrann Mathieu goes to the Rams or the 49ers or the Seahawks. I think it'd be great. I think it would be great because I don't care if the Cardinals win or lose. I'm not in that whole because we live here, we have to root for a hometown team. That doesn't happen out of this microphone. I just look at it and say, is this a good storyline? Like when Richard Sherman, when the 49ers play the Seahawks, that is going to be great. It will be terrific. There will be the villain. The fans have someone that they can get after. If Tyrann Mathieu goes to an organization that is viewed as an arch rival, if Tyrann Mathieu went to the Dallas Cowboys, are you kidding me? So you can throw out spaces that he may show up at or that he may report to or that he will go out and tour on. Me, because of knowing the love for him in the Valley, I hope he goes to somebody that is right there opposite the Cardinals when they play one another twice a year. I hope he stays within the division. I do. I think it's great for the fans. I think it's great to look at that. So you have the Mathieu story on one hand. On the other hand, you have Glennon and you have Sam Bradford coming here. And so is the organization done yet in free agency? Remember, free agency is a space where you go to try to correct your mistakes most of the time. Most of the time, the guys that are out there in free agency are mistakes by other teams. Most of the time. You have to work really hard to find that little golden nugget that has been released, who is making too much money, but he can come here and help you out. More often than not, free agency, it doesn't work. So I don't want to see the Cardinals in a space where every year it's 7, 8, 9, 10 guys. The fact they had to go after two quarterbacks in free agency tells you exactly what. It tells me that they didn't have anybody behind Carson Palmer that they had the faith in. It's very easy to sit here and take the side, and I tend to do this. This is easy on my part. I have to trust Mike McCoy. Mike McCoy is pretty darn good. Mike McCoy is going to sit there as the offensive coordinator of this team and look at the players that are brought in. And for Mike McCoy to say, you know what? I didn't do half bad with Phillip Rivers. I didn't do half bad in my run here in the NFL. I think I can judge quarterback talent pretty good. I don't have to listen to that guy, Sesmat, behind a microphone. I got this figured out. But the facts are Sam Bradford and Mike Glennon, those are the two guys that the Cardinals went after. It shows you that the last few years, they didn't bring along a quarterback to replace Carson Palmer. Just a fact. And maybe that's by design. Some quarterbacks don't want people breathing down their neck. was the famous stories I've heard about Peyton Manning and the backups behind him. He didn't treat well. We saw Eli Manning say publicly, yeah, I'm not here to help somebody develop. I don't know. Was that Carson Palmer? I don't think it was. But the Cardinals, the facts are facts. They're going to sign two guys because the guys they had here behind Carson Palmer, in their opinion, couldn't play. Fact. Can't spin it any other way. May want to try to. Can't do it. As I mentioned, Haley's in today. In for Eric. We had Jordan yesterday. And he didn't screw up. You're not going to screw up, are you?
No, I'm not going to screw up.
Yeah, you're not going to screw up. Well, you might want to turn your camera on, so that's one screw up.
Looks like we have a dead battery.
Let me go back to her. I'll go back to her. If her battery died, Jared, I'll just go back to her. All right, let's just go back to her. It's fine. On the other side, we're going to dive into some college basketball about ASU and GCU and what happened on both fronts last night and whether it was a good season or bad season in particular for ASU. We'll do that after this time out. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. In about 10 minutes, so Rising FC has released some renderings of their new stadium this morning. We'll bring those to you. And Sean McDonough finally weighed in about being let go from Monday Night Football. And he just ripped the process, just how it was not all that it, quote, it wasn't a tremendous amount of fun for the last 2 years. It's the main guy doing NFL Monday Night Football, and it wasn't fun. So I'm going to get into that a little bit, too, in about 10 minutes. Let me start in this segment with Arizona State. So they lost to Syracuse, and it was disappointing. I think if you've watched Arizona State, this is a team that was ranked as high as 3. This is a team that beat Kansas, a team that beat Xavier. You heard all about that. This is a team that under Bobby Hurley this year, it was something to be at. Unlike our NBA team here that can't figure it out outside when LeBron is in town, the college basketball program in Tempe was as relevant as the college basketball team in Tucson, and that never happens. I've been here 25 years, and for 23, 22 of those years, ASU basketball was always putrid. They don't play anybody. The building feels like a library rather than a bank. Coaches privately complain about the facilities. Their scheduling was terrible. I can go on and on and on about why the program was run into disrepair. But the facts are Ray Anderson came in and he said, you know, and I think this actually started with Steve Patterson a little bit, but Ray Anderson came in and he said, you know, we're not going to just have something sort of to do in between spring football and regular football season and pretend that it really matters. Because it, for a long time, the college basketball team just didn't flat matter. They may say it did, it didn't. And so this year they had things in place, like trying to give the arena a catchy nickname, call it the bank. Let's be a little bit hip. Let's not call it Wells Fargo. Let's call it the bank. Maybe that's because that sponsorship deal, even though it's got a lot of years left, it just didn't feel like calling it that brand was well worth it for the fans. Whatever it may be, there was a move there to rebrand it, rename it. The curtain of distraction, while there's people at the university that think it's run its course, and I'm one of those people that think the curtain of distraction has run its course, you need gimmicks and you need gadgets to get people to come to the games when the team isn't good on the floor. I don't think they'll have a curtain of distraction at North Carolina Duke. Bobby Hurley is here. Bobby Hurley doesn't need curtain of distraction. When curtain of distraction is put up and it's guys jumping around in their boxers and they have nothing else on and the U of A makes free throw after free throw after free throw, what is the point? Other than when a TV network comes in here and they don't know anything about the team, it's pretty easy to say, hey, let's put on the curtain of distraction. It'll be really fun. You don't need that. But nonetheless, they did it. They brought in Michael Buffer this year to make the introductions for a big game. They have redone the concessions. They've done all sorts of things to try to make it easier for you to go to the games. But at the end of the day, I don't know, you tell me, don't you want a team that is playing a competitive team on the other side of the coin, not Northeastern Illinois on a Sunday afternoon at noon? Don't you want a team that plays hard, which they did? Don't you want a team that is well coached? That's to be debated by fans. On my end, I think Bobby did the best that he could do with the talent that was given to him from the previous administration. It doesn't get turned around overnight In certain cases, it can if you go get a whole bunch of JUCO kids and roll them out on the floor and away you go. Bobby hasn't done that. So I look at the whole body of work, and last night as the game is going on, it's the same old story. They can't hit free throws. They make really poor decisions on the floor. The basketball IQ as the season went along for some of these players, Mickey Mitchell's basketball IQ as the season went along wasn't good. And I'm one of those that said, I really like how he played in December, but for whatever reason, by the end of the year, was turnover, turnover, turnover. Missed dunk, just not smart play. So then that takes you to, okay, successful season, unsuccessful season. And that's why I started getting last night. And I think it's better put to say successful season or disappointing season from this standpoint. Yes, you can go back and say they made March Madness, so of course it's a success. That's debatable because a lot of people, including myself, that feel as though they weren't worth it down the stretch. When people say, yeah, well, look at what we did in November and December. I don't know. In my marriage, if I am really good for a couple of months and then for the next 2 months, I just do stuff that's really bad all over the place, I'm going to hear about it. And it may not be comfortable and it may be really uncomfortable at times. Same thing with ASU basketball. Not that my marriage is that bad. Same thing with ASU basketball. Yeah, it was fine that they won all those games, and it was great they won all those games. They were ranked that high. But man, you tell me, there was nothing good to hang their hats on in January and February and March. March consisted of a poor showing against Colorado in Las Vegas. And it consisted against a poor showing against Syracuse last night. Now, you can say, well, they made the NCAA tournament. They made it as the last four in a conference that now only has U of A left standing. So it wasn't a good conference. It wasn't a good year from the conference standpoint. They can say the offseason, the highlight film will say, show great shots. Tim Healy, play-by-play. Look at that shot. Hubba hubba, we beat Kansas. Hubba hubba, we beat Xavier. It's not going to show DeAndre Ayton just crushing them. It's not. It may show beating UCLA and USC at home. It's not going to show losing at Oregon State or Oregon. That's not what highlight films are for. But if we're to do the whole body of work, and the whole body of work, it wasn't great. They got in. Somehow they got in. And they get a little bit of experience out of it. They fly to Dayton. They get beat. They come home. I think the bigger question is, how do you build off this? You know, what type of scheduling are you going to have next year that is of the same caliber as this year? Can't deny it. They played a number one seed in Kansas, a number one seed in Xavier, Kansas State and all that. And they keep going back to it. That's great. But next year they're coming into a conference where the U of A is going to be down. It's going to be. There's no other way. There's no DeAndre Ayton coming. Alkins is gone. Trier is gone. So your rival, if you're an ASU fan, okay, you're a U of A fan, you always feel like you're the greatest team ever because that's just how you are. As U of A fans, nothing is ever wrong with your program. Your program is great. Your program is spectacular in your view. ASU, I think it's ascending. That takes me over to Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon last night lost. You may have thought, well, GCU was over, Brad, when they lost in the WAC championship game to New Mexico State. No, they played in a second-tier, third-tier tournament last night, the CBI. They played at home. They lost to Mercer. Dan Marley wasn't happy after the game. You can check out the video. Eric was there last night. Did a really good story, really good write-up on everything. And we paid attention to GCU from start to finish. I felt as though this was progress for them. Same thing with ASU, kind of different in this regard. For Arizona State, in their first year of being tournament eligible, to make it all the way to the championship game within their own conference. And they ended up losing to a team that a lot of people are picking to be a sleeper in New Mexico State. They played well, I thought, at times. At other times at the tournament, they looked like a team that the bright lights had finally hit them and had caught up with them. Last night, I didn't see any of the game, honestly. But I'm just looking at the body work. I did see what Dan said afterwards. Dan really went after his players afterwards. So I'm going to get the guys in here that can figure it out, that want to play, that'll play smart. He was frustrated. I think in Dan's case, it's let's see how Dan handles what's going to happen in all likelihood in the next 3 to 4 weeks. There's going to be schools across the country that are going to come after Dan Marley and kick the tires. It's going to happen. It's the same thing with Bobby Hurley, except ASU was proactive on the deal. They went after Hurley in January and made it known, okay, you're staying here. Let's get something figured out. I think every year now you're going to find teams are going to come and schools are going to come after both Dan and Bobby. And that's a good thing for us. It's a really good thing in our community. GCU's already scheduled a very good tournament next year. They're in the Wooden Legacy Classic. So I feel good about the direction they're going. It's a different conference. I get it. About the only comparison with the two conferences is I could find GCU basketball easier than I could find ASU basketball. ASU basketball in the Pac-12 tournament was on the Pac-12 network. When Larry Scott, the commissioner, comes out and says, I can't believe we didn't get more teams, and nobody watches your games. Let's just be straight on this. Your quarterfinals, your semifinals, those games are on Pac-12 network. Your championship game was on FS1. Those are not the biggest channels for your conference to be on. You have a problem. In GCU's case, it's the WAC. Their championship game was on ESPNU. I ran into Jerry Colangelo, Brian Mueller up in Vegas, talked to him about it. It's two different categories, but there's some real bitterness between fans on both sides. Like, we're giving GCU so much attention and not giving it to ASU. ASU's at a different level. ASU deserves to be treated differently. They do. For GCU, it was a good first year. So Sean McDonough rips the Monday Night Football process on his way out the door at ESPN. And a very good story with Phoenix Rising. Their renderings were released today on their new facility. You'll see those. Plus, I've got some thoughts on the Coyotes. And we'll get to all that after this time out then Goody at the Movie. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Welcome back. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Our television show on Fox Sports Arizona. 16 airings per week. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. You can check it out Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Sean McDonough is in the news cycle today, and this is actually just me seeing it. I don't know about everybody else's news cycle. He's in mine. Sean McDonough, his first comments since losing his play-by-play spot on Monday Night Football, this was in today's New York Post. McDonough made a radio appearance earlier today on WEEI in Boston. Now, you guys know, most of you know that Monday Night Football, at one point in time in our country, was the most important television show outside of 60 Minutes. It just was. Or maybe Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. It was very, very important. And it was something that everybody shut down. I hate using the word everybody, but most people would shut down whatever they were doing to gather around and watch Howard Cosell. And it was a different time, a different era. As years have gone by, and the NFL has all these media partners, Monday Night Football has become less and less important. The quality of football across the board in the league, from my view, is less and less palatable than it once was. Doesn't mean it's not still a good product. It's just not. It's not what it once was. And anybody who's going to debate me on that's just on a payroll for a team. So, Sean McDonough gets removed as the play-by-play voice of ESPN of Monday Night Football. Quote, what is the most important thing in life is to be happy, is his opening comment. As much as it was a great honor to be the voice of Monday Night Football, and you guys know me well enough, it's WDEI, and certainly a lot of my friends and family do, quote, it wasn't a tremendous amount of fun the last 2 years. When I took my ego out of it, when the conversation about a reboot of NFF came up, Monday Night Football came up, when I took the ego part out of it and rationalized it, I really could be fine with not being the voice of MNF. Then it became easy. He goes into this a little bit further. If you go back and look at the schedule, quoting Sean McDonough, generally, we got one of the worst NFL games each week. You're trying to make something sound interesting and exciting that isn't. This is perfect. So true. For me, continuing to quote, for me, part of it was just the way the booth was set up the last 2 years. It was really geared around John Gruden. That's not unusual. TV really is an analyst-driven medium. That's true. John had a particular set of skills that he did really well, and foremost among them was analyzing the play, breaking down the play. Here's why they ran that play. Here's why it worked. Here's why this guy did or didn't do. It was really football heavy, X and O heavy. And I think most play-by-play guys, all play-by-play guys, would have felt like a bit of a bystander. So, yeah, when he's breaking it down, which appeals to like this many people, you have to appeal to the masses. And you have a bad game. McDonough was removed from the post after Gruden left to reenter the coaching ranks with the Raiders. Joe Tessitore will take McDonough's place. Quoting McDonough further, "I know there are people within the NFL who probably wish I talked less about the officiating or whatever it was that rankled them. I was assured by people at ESPN as they were considering a reboot that that wasn't really an issue. I'd like to think ESPN would ignore that. When you pay the league $2 billion per year, you ought to be able to pick who your announcers are." Quoting, it's just great. Final quote, "I love college football," because he's going back to college football for ESPN. "I love college football. For me, it's more fun. And that's a personal taste." So you have to remember that Sean's dad, Will, covered the NFL. And Will was a straight shooter. And so when I see these quotes straight up off a radio interview and just going at it and letting the NFL have it, it's what I've, well, I think what most of us see, but we don't really consume it the same way. Like the ratings drop for the NFL doesn't mean that people don't care. It's just, don't tell me you're the biggest thing ever when a lot of nights, as he put it, we didn't have good games. We had lousy matchups. We had bad football. It's not going to work. It's crazy. Yeah, it's just crazy. Meantime, on to better news. And that is Phoenix Rising today announced this morning that they have come into a spot where they have their renderings for their new stadium. And you can go check this out over on sports360az.com. Jared, go ahead and put those pictures up because I'll get into this a little bit. So they released four pictures this morning. And the pictures are the first renderings of what the Rising FC Stadium is going to look like. It's their second season at Rising. Right now they're playing this small little facility over at the 101 in McKellips. And it's great. It's fun. The renderings bring the stadium to life, according to Brett Johnson, co-chairman of Phoenix Rising FC. When you look at that, what is it that you notice? There's not a dome. And I've heard from fans that have said, we don't want a dome. We want it to be a traditional European-like setting. Yeah, there is the European feel about this, from my view, just looking at the pictures. You also have to be conscious of, what are we talking about financially if it were to be a domed facility? Yeah, there's going to be soccer games being played in the middle of July. But the coverings on the side and the experience on the side, they talk about this having expansive, breathable canopies that will cover the bowl concourse area surrounding the stadium to maximize player and fan comfort while amplifying the energy and excitement within the stadium. Meaning, yeah, we know it's going to be hot, but we think we've got it figured out. And we don't want to take away and have it feel like you're inside of a building and that soccer experience is taken away from. There's one of 11 cities competing for three MLS expansion slots, which are scheduled to be announced at the end of this year. In the last 6 weeks, soccer in Phoenix has taken gigantic steps forward, in my opinion. They've added a billionaire investor, which they've needed to have. From my understanding, the MLS looked at the ownership group here and said, it's nice, it's fine, it doesn't have a billionaire attached to it. Now they have a billionaire. Okay, now they put the renderings out right before their regular season matches start, which are this weekend. Their first home match is a week from this Saturday. And so these are two big steps forward to send the message that we've got this in place for Phoenix. You guys know, if you've watched this long enough or if you just find us for the first time, that I am big on getting more sports here. I want all sports here. I do not want sports teams leaving. I don't, even though I think Robert Sarver is going to use Vegas and Seattle as leverage for a new building for the Suns. That's just my own personal opinion. He's a banker, and he's killing it financially, and his team's not good. And he wants a new building. And you've got Vegas wanting a team, and Seattle's already said they'll look at an existing NBA franchise. To think that he's not going to use that as leverage as a businessman, come on. So it's a different rant. But this is good news for Rising. That takes me over to the hockey team in town. And those of you that get on me about not doing that much hockey on the site, or that much hockey in person on the show, give me a reason to, because this thing is so far down. It's like why I don't go on the Suns games every day and say, hey, the Suns are playing tonight. Yeah, and most of you don't care because the product stinks. So the Coyotes, they play Nashville tonight. Get this on the Coyotes. For those of you that don't think they're relevant now, since February 12th, only the Nashville Predators have more points in the West than the Coyotes. Now, I don't want to hear this stuff about, well, teams are just looking past them, it's the middle of the season, so on and so forth. No, this franchise is starting to turn the corner. I really believe that. Rick Tocchet has come in here and John Chyka has come in here. They've blown the thing up. They've made some really hard decisions, starting with the Shane Doan deal. And Steve Patterson behind the scenes is trying his darndest to get the stadium situation, the arena situation figured out. There's been one person on our staff who's been after me on the Coyotes, and that's Haley. I have said repeatedly, you know, let's do the Coyotes in moderation, and I leave it up to the staff. I tell the staff, guys, just bring me a story. If you guys want stuff seen here, you've got to pitch them. Go after them. Go after Haley. Go after Jordan. Go after Eric. If you want to go after me, it's fine. But I would rather them come to me saying, I'm going to go do a piece. So Haley is producing today, and what would you say? A year ago, you were after me saying, why are we not doing more Coyotes, right? It's been about a year, right?
Yeah, I would say so. Just over a year. I did a little bit last year, and then this year we've been chasing other stuff. So
yeah,
have me out there. And you made the point of they're not the best this year, but I think it was back in November I had told you. I was like, yeah, like they're not the best. They're young, but I'm seeing national NHL writers saying, just wait until the second half of the season. And sure enough, here we are.
But I want to see you do that.
Some turnaround stuff.
I want to see you do that. I don't want national NHL writers.
I'm just saying, I told you back
then.
Well,
I'm just saying, we'll go do it. All right. Your camera's not working today, so no, I'm going to let you off that. All right. So you know, that's on Haley's side. And I'll give her a shout out on that. Up next, Goody at the Movies. We'll talk with Bill Gutekunst, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, on all things around the movies. We'll do that after this timeout. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports and you need a life, yep, you got to get out to the movies. That is why Bill Gutekunst, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, stops on in. How are you, Bill?
I'm good. Does that mean that watching the tournament is not a life?
You have your brackets done. It's 70 degrees today. It's a nice day for a bike ride. Get off your couch. Go have a life. Jeez, oh man. You were not a Tomb Raider the other night, were you?
I was.
At IMAX? I didn't see you.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I was there.
All right. Let's start with this movie, because I thought it was dreadful. This was Indiana Jones-ish. There were some moments that weren't half bad. I guess I shouldn't say dreadful. I'm not going to give it stars or popcorn buckets or anything, but it was okay. So let's just start there. Where were you at on Tomb Raider?
I think you were right the first time. I think dreadful was perfectly fine, which is too bad because Alicia Vikander, she's great.
Yeah.
I mean, She won an Oscar for The Danish Girl. She should have won it that year for Ex Machina. I mean, she's an Oscar winner. She's terrific. I'm sure that the check cashed and was gigantic. So good for her on that front. But it was dumb. It was just all. It didn't make a lot of sense. They were just running around doing idiotic things and. I don't know. It wasn't for me, I'll tell you that.
When my 13-year-old leans over to me and he said, the dad's going to die, everybody's going to die except for her. They're in this scene, and I'm not saying that happened or didn't happen. I don't want to give it all away, but when he is giving me that, and it's during a scene where there's some guys that are chasing her, taking her purse and running around, and he leans over to me, he's like, this is how it's going to end. There's like an hour left in the movie. Right. And that's not good when a 13-year-old, but he said to me, you know, this wasn't as good as the game, not as good as the book, as good as the game. That was the key part to me.
Well, here's the thing. This movie obviously is sort of a reboot of the 2000 movie that starred Angelina Jolie and she made two. That movie was based on a video game, right? this movie is not based necessarily so much on that movie as it is on a 2013 reboot of the video game. So this is a reboot of a movie and a reboot of a video game. If they could just get a TV series in there somehow, it would be the hat trick of unoriginality.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true. That's a good way to put it. So we're not saying go see this. She's great, okay? Let's not kid each other. She's not Angelina Jolie, though, great, right? I mean, if you had to choose between one or the other.
I think Alicia Vikander is a better actor. I don't know who's a better Tomb Raider, better Lara Croft.
That's true. No, it's true. And just so we know, the way that this ended, there's going to be another one, right?
Unless this completely tanks, yes. I mean, they basically, it's not a cliffhanger, but it's, I mean, it's clearly set up to be part of a franchise. I'll say this too, along with your 13-year-old, and I'm sure he's better at this than I am. There's a bit of a twist, and I saw it coming about an hour before it happened, and I am terrible at this stuff. I cannot figure out anything. I can't figure it out after they show it. But this one I saw coming. That does not speak well of the storytelling.
And I think we're on the same twist here. But the Tomb Raider is going to get a lot of play this weekend, so we both think it's eh. Lucy. What is O Lucy about?
It's a really bizarre movie. It's about this woman in Japan, and she's kind of got a nowhere life going. You know, the first scene is she's standing on a train, train station, waiting for the train, the commuter train, and a guy brushes beside her and says goodbye, and like jumps in front of the train and kills himself. And it doesn't even fade. I mean, she's just like nothing. Her life is so rote that nothing happens. You know, she ends up by sort of a convoluted way taking English lessons from a guy who she sort of falls for immediately, even though she's much older. She ends up following him to America along with her niece and her evil sister. It's sort of goofy, it's sort of sad, it's a whole bunch of different things, but I really liked it because the Japanese actress who plays her is just fantastic.
All right, so this is, in your view, if you had to choose between Tomb Raider and this, where are you going?
This.
Okay, all right. So that's what I'm hearing in your voice. The last movie that you want to see that you have, what is the last one you have this week?
The last one I saw is called 7 Days and a Teddy, and it's one of those movies that ought to be good. It's about the 1976 hijacking of the Air France flight. There's been other movies about it. There's been other TV shows about it. The hook for this is supposed to be that they've declassified some information, and we know a little bit more. It's got some really good actors in it, Daniel Brühl, Rosamund Pike. And it's just boring. It has one of the great, in real life, it's one of the most daring rescues ever attempted and pulled off. And then there's all these Israel heroes involved in it and all this stuff. And basically what it is, it takes the bold move of like sitting around with the hostages for a week while they just wait to see what happens.
This movie,
I don't know why they do
this. This movie's got a lot of play, Bill. You know, that's what I've seen on this one. This got a lot of buildup, right? A lot of marketing around this one.
Yeah, but I mean, it's got a good cast. It's a really good topic. I mean, they just train the life out of it. It's just not interesting at all.
All right. So there's nothing this weekend worth seeing. That's what you're telling me off of all this. You're telling me this is a weekend for Netflix and DVDs or March Madness.
This is a weekend for the tournament. Come on. This is the best weekend. This is the best weekend in sports for me. Because I love college basketball, even though I don't follow it. No, everybody else, I don't follow it like I used to because I don't know the players anymore. I mean, they're not there long enough. And, you know, you can't really build up any rivalries you care about. But, I mean, there's games on now, and there's going to be games on until, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 o'clock Sunday night.
Yep.
And that's just nothing is better than that.
No. I'm in agreement with you. There's no question. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate it as always. Thanks.
All right.
It's Goody at the Movies. We have Bill Goodykoontz every week in our partnership with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, because, guys, you know this. There's more to sports. There's more to life than just sports. You have to get out and see a movie or two. So appreciate Bill jumping on every week. This show will repeat all day and all night for the next 24 hours on AZ Central, also on sports360az.com. Again, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona, 16 airings per week. We appreciate the partnership with FSAZ and the Arizona Republic. We are self-funded, so we appreciate those of you that sponsor us. This is 6 years now after it, and day in and day out, we get it done. Go over and check out the website. There's about six news stories. Phoenix Rising FC now with their new facility. You can check that out. A lot around ASU, some recruiting news, ASU football, and much more. Have yourself a great day.